Now, of reason, SPLA-IO is one of those political parties to the revitalized peace agreement, and it has been facing conflict within itself. Now, a statement denouncing Greg Machar as the chairman and appointing another chairman. This received a response from SPLA-IO commander-in-chief, of course, and earlier we had and we talked to his spokesperson here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. But now to have a conversation and look at the picture from outside, I'm glad to tell you that we have political analyst Abraham Kwonyon to discuss this. And also online we have Jame Kolok, who is also a civil society activist. Abraham, good morning, and it's good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Savi William.
And we also have Jame Kolok. Good morning, Jame. Good to have you.
Good morning. I'm happy to be on board.
Great. Let's begin with you, Abraham. This issue that within the SPLA-IO and as we implement the peace agreement, how do you think this will really affect the implementation of the peace agreement?
Thank you very much, Sir William. The current crisis within the SPLA-IO is a new dawn in the history of the current peace agreement, whereby some of the military wings of the signatory of the peace agreement have officially disagreed with the counterparts and are able to declare war against one another. And this thing is not going to go well with the implementation of the peace agreement, because you know that, Sir William, that currently there has been dropping of feet on security arrangements to make it to work very well. And as a result of this, if we were heading to forward in the operationalization of the security arrangement, which deal with the training and graduation of the forces in the training centers, this kind of a new beginning, mostly or new rebellion, is going to affect the security sector reform and mostly the unification of the army, because now in those areas that are controlled by the former chief of defense for the IO, we are saying now probably any assessment that was done by citizen, any verification that was done has to begin afresh, so that mostly the security mechanism within the RTGONO should be able exactly to understand the new status of the IO strength within those areas. And in this case, maybe it means that new resources need to be deployed. It means also a new political will need to be put on the ground, especially from the IO side, for them to be able to see into that they gain the same strength that they were having before.
And yes, let's talk to Jame. Jame, you are a civil society activist. You are the chairperson of the South Sudan Civil Society Forum. Moving forward, it has been 3 years now, 3 years since the peace agreement was signed. Within these 3 years, the security arrangements, as we all know, haven't really, you know, the forces have not graduated up to now. How big of a step behind is this latest development within the IO come?
This is a very serious blow to the entire peace process, and mostly to one of the very important aspects of the peace agreement, which is supposed to be a provision that guarantees stability and security in the country. I think what we see here is definitely a consequence of a delayed unification process. The agreement was signed putting in mind that this process would have actually happened during the pre-transitional period. And therefore, the fact that we are not able to achieve the unification process has created more significant kind of concerns within our forces and soldiers that are confined in these training sites. I think the report of CITISAM is very clear that these guys are undergoing very significant human suffering, which is attributed to lack of basic services to sustain their lives. So what you see here is an accumulation of grievances that would have actually been addressed long before we reached to this particular situation. And I think I need to agree with the previous speaker that what we are seeing is going to have serious ramifications in terms of the entire unification process. One thing we need to note is that when you look at the number of forces attributed to the various armed groups that are now in the unity government, you would notice that IO has got significant forces that constitute a huge proportion of those that are supposed to be unified. Now that there is this division, literally means that there should be some potential discussion within the IO, and if they are not able to sort out these issues, then probably we'll have a long way to go in terms of convincing these defectors to be able to come on board and be able to embrace the process in conformity with the peace agreement. So we have serious confusion.
Great. Now, Abraham, let's look at, as Jame just mentioned, about the situation of the forces within these cantonment sites. They don't have food, they don't have medicine, they don't have shelter, their families are suffering. And as this prolonged reunification continues, are we likely to see soldiers leaving these camps and just going their way, and in turn increase insecurity in the country and affect the implementation of the peace agreement, of course?
Well, that is true, Sir William, because you see into it that the lack of food items, the lack of medication for the forces in the cantonment areas and barracks, and also the lack of facilities for them to be able to be given the training without any hindrance is something that, in my opinion, should not be blamed on the current new development in the IO. It's something that is supposed to be blamed on the RC donor as a large. And as a result of this is where I could say it is an indication that probably the leaders who are the key signatories of the peace agreement are not willing per se for the quick implementation of the peace agreement. Instead, they are dropping feet so that they have an opportunity of extension, which is something that I'm seeing to happen probably by next year, that they should be proposal for. But you should be able to see into it that, said William, that probably the current new development is happening at the SPLIO small. And this is also going to create an opportunity for other parties who are signatories to the agreement to be able to drop their feet on fulfilling the needs of the IO, since they know that the IO doesn't have the military strength any longer. And this thing is going to drop up the agreement far better than the way it is currently. So the only things that I need to suggest as the way forward is that we've seen what is happening across the country.
Yes, we will come back for that. Yes, hello, Abraham. We'll come back for the way forward. I will ask you that question, obviously, and how we can address this. But let's first come to Jame. Jame, do you think that the parties to this agreement are doing this deliberately, just as delaying tactics, so they can prolong their stay without the voices of the citizens in an election?
Well, I think these voices of potential extension of the transition is already going on. And absolutely, whether this is a political game, it is going to even become worse, because militarily, we have aspects that are trying to enforce itself to destroy the peace agreement. However, I think there is high level of political consciousness in the citizens who believe that South Sudan cannot afford to have almost indefinite extensions of periods that are not actually producing any tangible outcome in terms of the dividend of the peace agreement. Of course, we have to also acknowledge that while the political leaders are already in Juba, there are also those who are not necessarily happy of the unification process, especially from the military side. And the reason is this. One thing you need to know, as soon as the unification process is completed, the command structure will itself change. And therefore, there are those generals in the bush who seems to anticipate it's over, they will lose power. And therefore, they want to use this as an opportunity to be able to gain a ground to negotiate. And once within the SPLIO,
could also be attributed to the fact that these guys believe that the moment the unification is done, they will be off from their senior positions. And this is both a confusion that is aimed at people creating new arrangements for negotiation, which has become part and parcel of the South Sudan political process. And therefore, this is really going to have a very serious impact, and absolutely these guys will use it as opportunity to say South Sudan is very unstable, and therefore we need more few years to be able to stabilize this opportunity. I think it looks like impossible that even if these guys are given how many years, they are not going to achieve anything. And this is very, very unfortunate for South Sudan.
Yes, Abraham, now let's look at the solutions, the way moving forward. How can this issue be addressed so that we get back on track in the implementation process of the peace agreement? What should be done?
Yeah, thank you very much, Reverend William. You know, during the time that the peace agreement was operationalized after the very big deadlock, President Kiir tried to compromise by returning the country back into 10 states, and Dr. Riek compromised by giving up the security for himself to the government. I think what our leaders need at this specific time is a new decision, a bold decision that is associated to what happened when they made that decision in 2019. And what our government need to do at this specific time, any rebellion against any signatures of the peace agreement should not be treated as a rebellion against that specific group. It should be treated as a rebellion against the entire system. And as a result of this, the renegade from the disgruntled from the SPLMIO should be treated as people who are against the artists. And all the people who are the signatories to the peace agreement need to join hand, and they need to look into this issue of the new rebellion. That is one. Secondly, I think the presidency need to sit down, come up with the resolution that needs to be sent to IGAD, East African Community, and also the Great Lake region, because we have got an article on which is talking about from what they call International Conference of the Great Lake Regions, that is that anybody that has reversed against the government or of the group of the region should be treated as a negative force. So I'm exhorting the presidency to come up with that kind of a resolution that needs to be shared with the region, that anybody who has reversed against the Artigolo is against the people of South Sudan, is against the spirit of unity within the region, and that person should be classified as a negative force, and therefore they should be priced out from any country that is neighboring South Sudan. And if any country fails to comply with that, then that should lead to more diplomatic actions.
All right. Abraham, thank you so much for joining us. And let's talk to Jame. Jame, what role do you think the guarantors here in this particular... Yesterday, the Council of, the IGAD Council of Ministers had a virtual meeting. What role do you think they should be playing now moving forward?
Well, I think the guarantors should themselves be surprised that the peace agreement that they helped to achieve is actually falling apart by some of these kind of incidences, especially from the military side. Absolutely, I would have to agree that we as a country, we should have our internal processes of being able to address issues that are emerging within the country. However, of course, this is not to say we don't value the contribution of the guarantors, including the IGAD process. However, I would have to connect their contribution towards this process by echoing what my colleague has just said, that I think IGAD itself needs to acknowledge that there must be a hardline approach towards ensuring that we don't just create situations of individuals who think that by fighting, they will be recognized and therefore given a platform to be able to negotiate themselves into power. I think the unity government is a government that is supposed to provide a ground for unification of every process, whether it is political or militarily. And therefore, IGAD need to insist that if there is any solution towards resolving that issue, it should not be outside the provision of the peace agreement. The agreement is very clear that the unification process would have to be foreseen by those who are heading these various armed groups, and therefore the primary responsibility is to ensure that there is a mediation within SPLM-IO to ensure that Dr. Machar and his former chief of staff are able to resolve these issues and have a formidable entity that could come into the unification process within the provision of the agreement. We are not going to encourage the guarantors to again continue to say, let's have another new arrangement, and therefore try to explore whether there are opportunities for these guys to get seats, because this will set a very wrong precedent, and therefore we are likely to see some of these schemas happening, not only within SPLM-IO, but it can happen everywhere. So these are serious things that the region need to ensure that they are not just complicit because of unfair decisions that are taken, simply because they are also taking advantage of this situation.
All right, Jame, David Kolok and Abraham, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Miraya this morning. We really, really do appreciate your contribution and conversation in this particular topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.